Agape Stories, where you get to know your church and stories that matter for the church.
All right. This is the Agape Stories podcast. I am Jeremiah Vault, the pastor of Agape Chicago, and today I am here with our administrative assistant, Ralph Magandayo, who many of you have seen and many of you have talked to before, but perhaps have never had the opportunity to really get to know him well. And today, like with many of our future podcasts, we want to provide you the opportunity to get to know him. So without further ado, I've already mentioned his name is Ralph Magandayo, but the truth is Ralph goes by many different names. And, you know, maybe you can tell us about that when you answer these this question I have for you, Ralph. What is up with all your names?
So I was born with three first names. My mom got like super excited with like naming her first child. So my first name is Nicolo. So my, you know, my family, my close friends from like high school. So that's what they call me. Ralph is actually my second first name. So that's what my, friends from Moody, and like my closest friends in the US would usually like, call me as. And then my third name is Angelo. I haven't really used it. So, you know, probably if I, you know, decided to do another life, I'll probably use that name. And then I'm also acting under the name Van Faro, because I found out it's actually easier for people to say it and remember it if it's short instead of like using my full name.
Excellent. Excellent. So Ralph is, he is now a citizen of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But he was born in the Philippines, raised there, and also had an experience with family chicken farming. So tell us about growing up in the Philippines and also something about what it's like to be in chicken farming.
So actually, the chicken farm came in like probably about like 12 years after I left. So that's my family's like retirement you know, plan pretty much. So my dad used to be a pilot, and he used to fly, you know, helicopters in Nigeria. Before that, he used to work for the power company. So, I've only been to the chicken farm once. It was actually pretty fun, trying to untangle like chickens from, you know, trying to untangle their heads from like the slats, because, that's how they die. And then you lose like money. So, it's pretty fun, but like, growing up, we had pet chickens actually. So those chickens were like, you know, just, they're not, you know, for food or for anything. Like literally we kept these chickens as pets. So they would have like chicks, they'd grow up and then they'd become like, you know, chickens that get married to other chickens. And so we, you know, that's how we grew up as kids. You know, and these are chickens in the city. So, wow. Yeah. So it was pretty
amazing.
How
many pet chickens did you have at once?
So, the one that like I remember really, really well is a hen that we called Ikin, because my sister was one who named the chicken. She can't really like say chicken at that time. She was still pretty young. So that's why we called her Ikin. Hmm. So Ikin probably had, 30 chicks that we know of. So she was pretty prolific, and then, you know, she died a natural death. We didn't eat her. So, you know, but like, she was pretty fun. Like it was fun, like feeding her and like making, you know, like trying to find out if like, okay, are these eggs going to hatch into chicks or not? You know, kind of like thing.
And I'm maybe getting off topic here a little bit, but she called it chicken. And, you know, I just assumed that your family spoke Tagalog growing up, but that's not the case.
So we spoke Tagalog growing up, but like in the Philippines, like you also have to learn English. So like, for example, like for me, they only spoke to me in English, at school, because I was a guy that they would usually send for English competitions. So, but at home, we speak in Filipino, but like, you know, we all speak English at home. Like, you know, for example, like chicken, you know, we don't call them, you know, like the Filipino word for chicken is manok. So I think my parents just had it like easier for us to teach like English words. So that's why we called chicken instead of like manok.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, this is off script, so I do apologize, Ralph, but you're from the city of Manila or from like a province called Manila?
Manila is a city in the Philippines. So that's the actual capital of the Philippines. However, Manila is surrounded by 16 other cities and like one municipality. So that's called Metro Manila. So that's kind of like Chicago. It's kind of like a Chicagoland, mm-hmm. pretty much. So I grew up in like one of those cities surrounding Manila. So Manila is about like 20 miles miles, I think, away from where I live. So, but like in the Philippines, that's a 3-hour drive going to Manila, Manila. So, yeah.
Because the roads are bad, not enough
traffic is bad. Like the roads are small, traffic is bad, and the drivers lack discipline. So it's not as orderly as it would be in the U.S. Plus, like Manila is a lot more congested than Chicago. Mm. So I think like so Manila, like the entire metro Manila is actually a third of the area of Chicago. With so Chicago is like 3 million people, right? With three times as many people. Mm. So yeah.
Manila has a ton of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, you come to the United States to study. Mm-hmm. But what got you into acting in the first place? Most people know that that's a part of what you do. You have many different hats, but what got you into acting? What made you want to pursue it?
Actually, that's the reason why I came to the United States, is to pursue acting, because in the Philippines, like, our movie stars are all like, you know, they all look white. So I'm pretty sure like if I pursued acting over there, like it's not going to happen. So that's why I decided to pursue acting in the US. So I actually I got the acting bug, like watching Gone with the Wind when I was like, you know, a sophomore in high school. So, you know, my friend who's actually coming over here, she's the one who's coming over here. She was the one who lent me a copy of her Gone with the Wind. She was trading it with me for, I forgot what movie she was wanting to watch that she traded this movie for. So like, watch this movie, 4 hours. And then at the end of the movie, I'm like, you know what? That's what I want to do. So yeah. So I decided to find a way and how I'd be able to like come over to the US to be able to work as an actor, but also like to stay here. So yeah.
Interesting. And maybe in your journey pursuing acting, what has been a pleasant surprise and what's been one of your biggest discouragements?
I think the pleasant surprise to me is I'm getting booked. It's crazy. Like I didn't think I was going to like even get an agent, get awards or anything like that. But like it's happening. That's kind of like the pleasant surprise, you know, which is something that doesn't usually happen with anyone who's like pursuing acting. I guess like disappointment, I kind of don't really have like a I think my disappointment is I'm still not at the point wherein like I can pursue acting full time. Like that's kind of like my goal is for all of the other, you know, like, you know, my other, you know, job, nursing, to like go away and like, you know, acting to be the full-time one. So that's kind of like my disappointment for right now, but I'm kind of like working myself out of that, you know, so that way, like, you know, there would come a time where like, I'm just doing acting. That's 100% of my income. So, and then everything else is just like, you know, pretty much like supplementary.
Gotcha. And so tell us about what else you're doing besides acting right now. We know one of those.
I'm the administrative assistant at Agape Chicago. So I also visit patients at home. So I work as a home health nurse for a few like home health companies. And then I also teach English online as well. So, but that's kind of like taking a back seat because most of my students are Russian. And like the internet has been like, you know, like has been restricted in Russia. So a lot of them can't really like, you know, communicate to like outsiders anymore. So I've lost like a few students from that. Same thing with, you know, with China as well. Mm. But like before I did have like a lot more like Russian and Chinese students, but you know, because of like our times right now and how they control the internet. So that's kind of like taking a back seat for right now.
That's very interesting. I'm going to look into that. I did not realize that. I've talked to you a bunch and I didn't realize that was the case. This question might be out of order, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Maybe tell us, you know, we're a church. We're wanting to understand people's stories a little bit. When did Jesus become central to your life in your own personal walk?
So like I've been a Christian since I was like 5. So I actually got saved like, you know, in Sunday school, and then growing up, like, you know, we grew up at church. But I think like the time when I really actually like committed to him was when I came over to the US. Because I came here, you know, I came here for a vacation and never came back. So, you know, so my parents had to like leave me here. So I was pretty excited about it, never got homesick. I mean, to be honest, but like for me, I'm like, okay, the dream that I'm trying to pursue is something that not a lot of Filipinos have, you know, like, or like even people of color have been afforded to. So that was the time when I'm like, you know what, it's like, you know, this is probably like the time for me to like commit my life to Christ, to make sure that like, you know, My life isn't going to, you know, to like go astray because of like, you know, the career that I'm pursuing. Because I mean, let's be honest, like, you know, acting, you know, with acting, like you get to encounter a lot of like people in a lot of situations that are, you know, I mean, not godly at all. And like, if you're not the kind of person with a strong faith, you could easily be led astray. And then before you know it, like, you know, your relationship with God is kind of like in the doldrums. So that was like the time when I first came here that I decided like, you know, okay, God is going to be the commitment to my life. Because I don't want to fall away. Knowing the career that I'm going to be pursuing, which has been actually like pretty surprising because like, not a lot of people like in acting are like actively like trying to de-Christianize me. A lot of them actually don't know anything about Christianity. Like literally I gave a ride to one of the actresses I'm working with. And she's like, what's this? Because she found like a Bible in my console. I'm like, wait, you don't know what that is? She doesn't know what a Bible is. So, you know, and like that's, actually, it's another pleasant surprise with my career. Like, there aren't a lot of people who are hostile to Christianity. They mostly don't know anything about Christianity. So they're actually like a lot more interested with talking about, you know, Christianity. Because honestly, like most of the things that they've heard about Christianity is like, oh, we hate gay people. We hate like, you know, all that. So, and like, that's, you know, that's not what, you know, Christianity is like in totality. Like there's something more than that. So there's a lot more people who are interested to learn more about Christianity, honestly, from like the artistic community. I mean, even just to know about it. That's pretty surprising.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, and just to make sure in my own words, you haven't found that you have to betray your faith, or you don't feel necessarily any experience of tension in following Christ and pursuing what you've pursued up to this point, at least in acting. Is that the case?
Not yet. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying like not yet just because like I haven't progressed to like the point that I want to, you know, to be in. But even for right now, like, because the way that I treat it, so like, for example, if I get the script and there's something there that I'm like, okay, I'm probably not going to do that in real life because, you know, like that's bad or something. Like if I'm playing a villain, you know, I mean, stuff like that, like I'm able to compartmentalize that. Like, okay, I may be doing this on film or, you know, on TV or on stage, but like, this is something that I am not going to carry into my, you know, personal life, you know, kind of thing. This is going to be a character. And, you know, honestly, like 100% of the time, people believe it's a character. They're, you know, they're like, nobody has approached me on stage and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just like did that. Like, you know, they're like, no, we know you're playing a part. We know you're playing a character. So I think, you know, I think like people are a little bit more mature when it comes to, you know, to stuff like that. They know that like, you know, okay, even though you're a Christian actor, you know, like even if you like, you know, even if you're like playing a villain, you know, or something, they know that it's not you. They know that you're just like playing a part. So yeah, so I've never really like encountered like anything, you know, anything where in like, you know, oh, if you rejected Christ, you're not going to get it. I haven't encountered any of that yet. Hmm.
Very good. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity since Ralph is on staff with us. He's been at Agape. At this juncture, you're one of our longest standing members.
Yeah, since I started coming to Agape like December 2013.
So yeah, not too long after we officially launched. So about a year and three quarters after we launched. And so what do you envision or dream or hope for Agape Chicago? What, you know, you work here at your church, you know. You know, what would you love to see in the next, you know, year, 3 years? What are you hoping for?
Actually, I was like looking forward to seeing like young families like at church, which is, I know we live in a transient neighborhood. Like once people start having kids, I mean, let's be honest, they kind of like move out of the neighborhood, you know, kind of thing. But that's the thing that I'd like to see a lot more are like young families, like people who are willing to commit themselves to like Chicago or like, you know, Evanston, like around this area. Doing church together because like I think because a lot of Christians are moving to the suburbs or to like out, you know, out of state, that, you know, we're starving people of, you know, church and community in the inner city, like in the city itself. So that's something I'd like to see, actually. It's like more young families, so that way, like, you know, we can continue with church, we can live as Christians in a community within the city without having to go to like the suburbs or to like move out of state just to find that kind of community.
Awesome. So the idea of seeing more stability at Agape, seeing maybe more of the next generation, like even beyond, you know, college students or something like that, mm-hmm. but, you know, more 3-year-olds, more 7-year-olds, more 13-year-olds, things mm-hmm. like this. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, very good. Well, Ralph, you know what? It's amazing. You know, you've touched so much ground for us already. And I do want to let you go. I want to say thank you for this interview. Ralph will be one of the first of our Agape Stories podcast released. So be sure to tune in. We're going to try to release one about every 3 to 4 weeks. We want to make sure this is an opportunity for you as the listener to know more about people at your church. So this is going to be an awesome venue for those of you that maybe couldn't sit down and have a coffee with everyone at Agape to have the opportunity to learn more about folks and to hear their stories and to connect in that way while you're going to and fro. Hey, you could even listen to this while you're working out during the week. So again, thanks, Ralph, for providing us that opportunity to get to know you better. And I hope it is enriching to you, the listener. And also, Ralph, I hope it helps you feel known as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Signing off now.